Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Beat Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you become the marriage-transforming hero of your relationship. Have you been in moments with your beautiful queen, with your kids, and with your kids interacting with your queen and you and your kids with you, whatever, family, the octagon of marriage, the octagon of family life and relating together, when there's a tension in the room, in the space where you're at, and there's a part of you just wanting, yearning to be able to fix that tension, and you clamber within your mind to try and find, like, what's the root cause of it, what's the clever thing to say, and you end up engaging with what you really hope is the right thing to say, and it doesn't come off, and the more you speak, it just gets inflamed. And if you're in marriage, your queen shuts down more and more from you, and the conversation goes on longer than you really wanted it to go, and you end up in parental dynamics. There's this triangle quite often that happens where, you know, as a husband, you can step into a triangle where, oh God, you know, it's like your wife and your child, and they're at loggerheads, and it's almost like this feeling of, well, you have to stand up for one of them, but if you take one off their side, well, you're alienating the other. So you might take the child's side and go, hey, well, did you not see this? And you try to say something clever, and then you've alienated your queen. She's pissed off with you. And if you take your queen's side, your child is pissed off with you. So it's like you're in this can't fucking win situation. This happens in family life a lot. This was happening to me all the time. God almighty. Like, I mean, the parental situations, the tension, there were a ton of dynamics. My beautiful queen has done a load of introspective healing, trauma release, etc. with her family of origin, which has allowed her to really come infinitely more grounded with my kids. But there were a lot of traumatic patterns there, and the tension was fraught, and it was horrible, and I honestly didn't know what to do with it, and I didn't know what to say. So I'm going to share the strategic meeting of three human attachment needs that we have. I've shared about this before, but there was a reminder needed just to be purely on these needs. And it works for when you're stepping in to a conflict where your queen and a kid or kids are at loggerheads and there's a ton of tension. It works when there's tension between yourself and your queen. It works when there's tension between yourself and a kid. Anytime there's that emotional tension, these three super simple attachment needs will offload the pressure from you trying to figure out something clever to say to penetrate through the tension of the moment. And it's just so freaking simple. I want you guys armed with this. My inspiration to bring this as an episode this week was I was doing one-on-one coaching with a powerful badass, and he was midway through his program with me, and I'm not mentioning his name. If he's listening, maybe he'll remember it, but it was quite particular with himself because it was from 1 week to the next. But these ideas, I bring them up very regularly in one-on-one coaching, etc., and guys in the training platform. It's just so powerful. What happened, this guy came in, and yeah, he was doing astounding work in intimate relating with his queen. But, you know, at the beginning of the session, one of the weeks, a few weeks ago, I asked him in general, you know, hey, anything you need to speak to? And he's like, well, you know, Mark, I don't know if this is part of the container here, but there was a big moment of tension between my queen and one of her children. And he went on to say, it's like he was there and he was trying to say, trying to enter it and enter into the conversation. And it got into that weird dynamics of sort of speaking and wanting to voice, you know, like some part of what where the child was coming from, and then the queen was pissed off, and in the end he just, his nervous system didn't know what to say to support the his queen and kid come to a resolution in that moment. And you know, it's just, he ended up walking away sort of feeling that it was better off to leave them at it themselves. And yeah, he came to me and he was like just asking for feedback with that, and we unpacked it a bit. And so beyond all the different dynamics and different things that were more personal and specific to them, there are certain universal things. There are three attachment needs that when you, as a masculine pole, as a masculine practitioner in your family, in your marriage, in your parenting, you have an incredible capacity available to you. Like the medicine of your masculine presence when you're armed with this wisdom is you can penetrate almost any situation without needing to say anything clever. And the three attachment needs, I believe every husband on the planet like really needs to be armed with the awareness of, are the human attachment needs of movement, touch, and food. Now, from a strategic awareness perspective, I said to this one-on-one client, I was like, oh, okay, well, here's what I would have done in that situation. And I explained the human needs, the attachment needs, movement, touch, and food. It's like, so I said it to him, hey, there are the attachment needs. You know, in moments like that, meet the attachment needs first. So movement can be, you know, if whoever is in the dynamic, yourself with your queen, you know, your queen with kids, etc. I was like, just change the situation. Move. If everybody's sitting at the table, well, move to another room that's a bit more comfortable. If you're in a room and like maybe go for a walk outside, there's a nice day. Hey guys, let's go for a walk outside. Let's go for a walk down the lane. Let's unpack this. Let's go out to the garden, guys. It's actually really nice out there. Let's go down there where, you know, there's less noise. Let's go down there. Go down to the veranda outside, whatever. Movement. Set movement into it. Touch, the simple thing that I said to the guys, like, hey, touch. You go over and you can touch your child on the shoulder. You can touch your queen. You can give a hug, whatever. Touch is a human need, a human attachment need. And food, simply offer to, hey guys, let's have a cup of tea. And so I suggested this as a challenge that week. I was like, hey man, this week, look out for moments that you can practice bringing this awareness of offering only to meet the three attachment needs of movement, touch, and food. And do not try and say anything clever. And it's so often, as men, we try to do the clever thing, you know, that rational-minded brain. To find a problem, find a solution, and let's speak it. And, you know, speak it and get the people around us, our wife, our kids, to see the black and white clarity of our thinking. And get them to go, oh my God, you're such a king. You have such rational-minded wisdom. I'm going to follow your advice. It never happens. But we try to do that. We try to think in our minds and, you know, identify the problem, find a solution, and then we start engaging, trying to tell people what the solution is. And it just 99.9% of the time, it doesn't work. So actually, I told the guy, meet the three attachment needs throughout the week and avoid speaking, like avoid speaking to the problem itself. He came back the week after and he was chuckling. He was like, Mark, I'm telling you, man, like you're not going to guess what, like what happened. And almost like a role repetition of what had happened the week before, albeit it was with a different child in the family. But he was like, there was a mad tension and I've been practicing in little moments throughout the week, but it came to this mad point of tension where he was explaining to me, he was like, my wife was there with one of her children and there was this incredible point of tension. They were sort of at loggerheads. There was no connection and they were arguing with each other and Nobody was feeling seen, heard, or safe. And he's like, I arrived on the scene. And he's like, it was so similar to a week ago when I told you that I just had to leave the room. There was nothing I could do. And after that first week, that experience, his queen gave him a lot of stick after it. He's like, I went to work on the attachment needs. He's like, you were there at the table. I went over. He's like, I went with touch first. I went over and, you know, put my hand on my child's shoulder, put my hand on my queen's lap. And it's like, I touched base with him. I literally touched base. I was like, I brought that touch, a light squeeze. And he's like, the movement and the food, I suppose I did it together. It's like, hey guys, how about we shift into the kitchen for a bit and I'll make a cup of tea. Let's sit down with this and let's see where we go. I'd love to be with you on this. He was like, by the time they reached the kitchen, the conversation ended. There was like, it's like meeting these attachment needs dissipated the entire tension. There was nothing else that was needed to be said. The connection came back into flow. With the three attachment needs met in both his child and in his beautiful queen, it brought them to, you can neurophysiologically say it was a self-regulated state of being, the emotional reactivity of that was driving the disconnect, that was driving the rational arguing back and forward, that was only heightening the emotional reactivity, the human attachment needs of movement, touch, and food being met, the argument ended. And he was laughing. He was like, and you know what my queen told me later on that night? She was like, thank you so much for being so in support of me there earlier on. And the hilarious thing was, from how we would usually go at, you know, being in support for queens, 99.9% of the time, in my mind and the guys that I work with, being in support for a queen is like taking her side, is saying, hey, dear child, you know, I think you need to be, you know, more respectful around your mother. You know, it's like, it's a verbal support. He was laughing, and it seems incredulous until you start realizing this is like a repeatable process. It can be that simple. So my encouragement to you guys going forward is, look out. Maybe do it like the guy this week. Like, let's, you know, I challenge you that over the next 7 days, look out for moments between yourself and your queen, between yourself and your kids, or if your queen is with your kids, look out for moments of tension. It's a positive thing to actually bring it into an awareness anyway. You don't have to have tension. It's like, you know, oh, let's go for a walk or touch, you know, get out ahead of the tension, you know, make sure that the needs of touch, that touch is an omnipresent thing in your house. Like with kids, I do fist pumps, high fives with the girls, give them a hug in the morning. We do spontaneous hugs, cuddle at night. There's a lot of touch, and myself with my queen. So there are, let's go with the pre-conflict. That's proactively getting out ahead of the conflict. That's the ultimate masculine practice. And then you get caught up in conflict. It's going to happen. But so this, for the next 7 days, look out for beautiful opportunities to bring movement into the situation pre-conflict. Hey guys, how about let's connect out in the garden? Come on, let's, you know, if there's tension or not, you know, like shake things up. If you just feel that things are a little bit sort of dampened down, whatever, you know, a bit sluggish, kids are, you know, you might go in and kids are on the computer or they're scrolling, or, you know, your queen is scrolling, so there's not a on, they're on their devices, or just this energy. Be the masculine practitioner, be the masculine pole that goes in and goes, hey, how about we go out to the yard, guys? Let's jump on the trampoline. You bring movement in, shakes up the energy to your queen. Hey, baby, how about we just go down to the garden? You know, kids are there, they're doing their things, their friends are there. You know, like we've 20 minutes before we have to start preparing dinner. Let's come down to the garden with me. I'd love to just chill out with you. Bring movement into it, and you can bring the touch in as well. You know, just have that touch. Crank up on the touch with your queen, with your kids. Crank up on the shaking up of movement. Bring movement in. And yeah, find tactful ways beyond, well, dinner and lunch. That can be an incredible thing if you actually, you know, if you want to do a special dinner or a special lunch, or, you know, prepare a surprise dinner for your queen where you've taken care of everything and she doesn't have to do anything, if that's something that's a surprise for her and something that's nice for her. Or, you know, coming back from town, a special snack, a favorite sandwich from that deli for your queen, for your kids. Shake things up. Food is a really powerful one. Or spontaneous cups of tea. Your queen is there, she's reading a book, and just get her favorite tea, get her favorite coffee. Just come over and just leave it beside her. You know, it's like cool things like that. Movement, touch, and food. Particularly, okay, there's the pre-conflict. That's ultimate masculine practice. Particularly if you notice a specific tension. Movement, touch, food. Literally, get that tattooed into your mind. The three human attachment needs. Movement, touch, and food. Like my one-on-one client, and that's that one-on-one client. It's like it was just really particularly black and white, literally from one week to the next. The exact same type of parental situation, but with a radically different outcome, where his queen was against him later on that evening, one week, and his queen, without him even saying anything, she was like, oh, thank you for supporting me so much in there. Like, that was amazing. His mind was like, sort of like, well, I didn't even support you, because it was like that old way that we think. It has to be a verbal support. It has to be this explicit verbal interaction. The vast majority of times, guys, when you strategically slow down and think, what are the attachment needs? Movement, touch, food. I'm repeating them here, so it's locking it in your nervous system. Movement, touch, food. Just remember, Mark said on the podcast, okay, it's go time. You know, if you notice tension, then meet attachment needs, movement, touch, food. If then, pre-commitments. If you notice tension, then first of all, meet movement, touch, and food needs. It's an ultra powerful, stupidly simple strategic awareness that will work wonders. Like 90%, 95% of the time, it brings it from that hard end, horrible tension point. You know, and like tension, I used to hate tension. I don't know about you. I used to hate emotional tension, psychological tension between my kids, myself, my queen. I used to hate it. And the only reason I hated it was, well, yeah, of course, number one, I was shamed out of any emotionality when I was younger. But the main reason I was hating it was I just didn't have a clue what to do with it. And I had these childhood pathways that went, oh, I need to fix it. I need to fix it. I need to fix it, which was sort of doing something on a practical level, listening in to what my queen or my kids were saying, and then get the practical fix. Oh, they're saying they're pissed off because, you know, they've lost, you know, my kid has lost her ball. Well, hey, dad's just going to get into the car and go buy a new ball. And it's like, it's not about the lost ball, and it's not about you being late, and it's not about, you know, your parents are coming over the weekend and your queen is feeling pissed off. It's very often not about the thing that they're saying, hence the trying to meet their needs off the basis of what they're practically saying. 90-95% of the time, it just really has nothing to do with what they're verbally saying. Meet their attachment needs. Our nervous systems are primed and conditioned to respond in a visceral, primal way when our attachment needs are met. These are the core human needs that were most important to us in our formative years, in the early formative years when you were a child. Movement was essential. Touch was imperative. Food was this amazing elixir of life when you got nice food. Movement, touch, food taps into these most important base level pathways in every human's nervous system. When you meet them first and foremost with a calm smile, touch, movement, food, and there's 100,000 different ways that you can get artful with them, you will be so far ahead of 99.99% of husbands on the planet with just these three simple strategic awarenesses. It's night and day, guys. I'm going to leave it over to you. It is my expectation that you, when you get tactful with this and you practice it with full diligence and discipline, do not jump to the mental fix that wants to take over your tongue and start verbally spouting out all of these ideas, how you're going to fix the situation or what they need to do to change their behavior and change how they're speaking to fix the situation. Just don't fucking do that. Go with meet the attachment needs of whoever is in that moment with you. And yeah, you'll be surprised and delighted how astoundingly effective it is. It just becomes a repeatable process where you can bring your queen, your kids, yourself, your family in a beautiful way from emotional tension back into flow. And you'll find that, yeah, the vast majority of arguments sort of dissipate by themselves. And if they don't dissipate fully, you've set an astoundingly powerful foundation of connection and emotional flow, that the conversation will get more rational and grounded and black and white after that, where people bring their full intelligence back in flow once that emotional reactivity has been ironed out. In perfect alignment with the mantra of this amazingly beautiful movement, there's never been a better time in history to be a man. You guys, you individually, every one of you listening in, myself included, that's producing this right now, you and I, we are all amongst the single most important group of leaders on the planet. Being a husband now, it has never been more important to show up as men, as masculine powerhouse leaders, conscious leaders of our queens, of our family, of our kids. You know, it's the quite literally, the next seven generations depend on how we individually and collectively show up. We are that important. In perfect alignment with the mantra of this beautiful movement, better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day.